Hey, Arch, we're back.
We're back.
We're back again. Just it's
another week, another pod. Another one day late, but here we are.
I know, that's it. You know, our paid jobs get in the way.
30 minutes before we were actually planning on recording, I realised, oh no, I've got a meeting and I must attend.
You must attend. And that's okay. You know, I was left wanting, but we are here this afternoon. You can catch us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Patreon, and our website, thetfopodcast.com. Check out some awesome articles on there. We got some great up-and-coming writers who are just itching to contribute and write, and so check their work out.
Hey, if you are interested in writing as well, we'd love to host your work as well.
We can't pay you.
No.
At least not yet. but if you make our website great, then hey, then who knows what will happen.
Yep.
But yeah, we'd love to hear from any prospective writers out there around NFL fantasy. So get in touch, comment on the show, ask a question, find us on Twitter at the TFL podcast. We are also both on Twitter separately at Ron the Boat TFL and at Arch TFL.
Thank you.
Leave us an iTunes review. 5 stars, please.
Only.
That's right. And share with your mates.
And a nice comment.
Yeah, that's right.
I want to hear something from your soul.
That's it. Today, Chris, we're looking at the NFC. No, we're not looking at the NFC.
Oh,
we're looking at the
AFC
South. The AFC. It's just a letter. Amazing how much difference a letter makes.
Yes.
So the AFC South.
We transfer back to last week for a moment.
Yeah, no, that's it. We're going back in time. No DeLoreans here, though. So AFC South.
Yes.
Hitting on the Houston Texans, the Colts, the Jags, and the Titans. There's some sneaky good picks in this bunch.
Sneaky good.
Sneaky good.
Not loaded like last week, but
no, it's a little bit different to the NFC South.
Yeah, we might be finished a little bit earlier than last week.
That's it. But no, we're looking forward to jumping into them. But Chris, we got a special announcement.
We do have an announcement.
Take us away. We're waiting for it. Is it coming?
No, it's not. Oh, that's not what I wanted to press, but that's fine. That's an excited air horn for the announcement of we are opening our inaugural TFL Podcast Listener League.
All right, get involved.
Yeah, so look, you're not a podcast if you don't have a league to it. And guess what? I'm in it.
Yes.
You're in it.
I'm in it.
And some of you guys listening get a chance to join and test your skills against us. Probably just expose us for the hacks that we are.
No, don't say that. I'm going to win this thing.
Yeah, you know. So, if you're after an extra fantasy league, and let's be honest, if you're listening to this, you probably are.
Yeah.
We'd love to have you in the league. Now,
so how do I get involved, Chris?
Well, it's a 12-team league.
Excellent.
So
that's the right amount of teams.
And if me and you are in it, that means we've got 10 spots.
We have got 10 spots.
Now, look, obviously, we're probably going to have thousands upon thousands of entries.
I expect that to be the case.
So we'll randomly draw 10 people. Now, to sign up to this draw, just go to the tflpodcast.com on the homepage. Just scroll down a little bit. You'll see a nice little sign up form that you can fill in. And I'm hopeful that that works because my web development's been tricky of late, but I've got a form there, fill it in.
Yes.
And so then hopefully within a week or so, we'll work out who's going to be in the league and then work out a draft. Now, going to keep it fairly generic in terms of format because look, we want to it's one quarterback, two running back, two wide receiver, one tight end, one flex, one defense, no kickers.
Correct.
Half PPR, 6-point passing touchdown, -4 interceptions. That's probably the only non-real standard there, just so it actually rewards the good quarterbacks and accurate quarterbacks.
You don't have Jameis Winston coming out as your quarterback 6 for the year or something like that.
So a little bit for the accurate passes there. So if you're interested, it will be hosted on Sleeper. Sign in through there. Now, if we get obviously more than 10 people, someone's going to have to miss out. But if you want an extra entry into the random draw.
Yes, Chris. How do I do that?
You, any Patreon supporters.
Yes.
Will get an extra entry.
Fantastic.
And if you leave us an iTunes, and you know, if you don't want to give us money, and I assume that's most of you.
Yeah.
iTunes review.
Yep.
5 stars, screenshot it, email it in. to prove that you've done that.
So there's
and you get an extra entry that way as well.
So there's a possible three entries that you can have.
Absolutely.
Excellent.
Yep. And look, if you become a best mate of the pod, I'll just guarantee you a berth.
Wow. All that's right. That's tempting, for sure. So
yeah, I mean, you might not want to join the league, but anyway, so if you're after a bit of extra work there, get on it. Now, is that all? That's pretty much our...
Yeah, it's a big announcement. That's
I'm pretty excited. It'll be my 2000th league I've entered this season.
My 3000th, so you know,
you're ahead of me there.
Yeah.
We're not there. We're going to carry out this league to no end. So
we will. That's right.
Get involved. Love to, you know, get more involved with some of you listeners and get into some good trade talks and stuff like that.
And that's it.
Hopefully, sniper all of you in the draft.
That's right. Very, very good. Let's move on to some news and notes.
News and notes.
Excellent. I love that deep sounding news and notes.
Yeah.
There wasn't me though that did that actually. So someone else must have done that. Very good. Some notable players who've opted out.
Yes.
Thanks to COVID.
Thanks to COVID.
Look, it's just causing havoc, isn't it? Just
not
people
happy.
Are all dropping out left, right, and center. Now there's no massive names that have dropped out. Some notable ones though. Marquise Goodwin for the Eagles has called it for the season out of care for his family. Pretty touching video out there on Twitter. If you find it. Devin Funchess has also dropped out. Nate Solder is the offensive lineman for the Giants. He's also opted out for the season. So maybe that means we need to maybe drop our projections a little bit for some of the Giants guys. Look, Barkley is an out-and-out gun, so I'm not sure how much I really want to drop him with his offensive line just taking a little bit of a hit. Are you making any adjustments?
Drops a little bit of yards per carry, I think I just thought, you know what, I'll revise his yards per carry, my projections by like, you know, I think I went from 4.7 to 4.5.
Yeah.
And he's still my, he hasn't moved in my ranks.
Still your RB2 on the year.
Yeah, I think maybe Zeke jumped him in standard now.
Yeah, okay, fair enough.
But, it's not going to read too much into it.
No, but the biggest one to come out of this is Damian Williams has opted out. It's for his family. Look, he's got some vulnerable people in his family, and that's probably the main reason why anyone's opting out right now. But boy, does this clear up the Kansas City backfield.
It is good. This has been the frustration is, you know, beyond four or five, maybe six guys.
Yeah.
There's so many murky situations, and we've just got an extra one cleared up for us.
Which is so good.
Oh, I mean, some would argue that it has been clear for a while and it was just a matter of time before CEH, but now we don't have that fading period that it's just
going to
surely will be his to take.
Clyde Edwards-Helaire is...
Darrell Williams ain't getting in the way.
No, neither is Darwin Thompson.
No.
DeAndre Washington is there, brought over from the Vegas Raiders, but... None of them have any say, really.
No,
it's Clyde Edwards-Helaire. He was picked 32, first round pick. Mahomes wants him to be in the team. This is the guy that you are looking at and now seeing, can this guy replicate, if not do better than Kareem Hunt's rookie year a few years ago? So I'm excited, Chris, to see what he's got. I am loving it because in our dynasty.
No one cares about your fantasy team.
In the latest dynasty league that we were a part of, I traded out of the first round to get some extra picks. And with those extra picks, I was able to secure Clyde Edwards-Helaire. So excellent. 4 years of potentially an RB4 or better.
Well done.
Very happy with that. So going to ride that one to the finish line.
What else we got?
Let's just say, where does Clyde Edwards-Helaire fit in your rankings right now? Chris, he has moved up mine considerably.
Oh, look, if he hasn't moved up your draft board, I don't know what you're doing. I looked at his stats and I've got him at, I think, 220, 230 rushing attempts off the top of my head now. Still not going to get the huge workloads of other, you know, number one running backs out there, but that's still plenty.
Yeah.
I still think, look, he doesn't quite have, like, if I guess we're trying to think back at Kareem, how Kareem Hunt was used.
A lot of catches.
I feel that just with Clyde Edwards-Helaire's skill set, he'll be utilized a bit more in the passing game,
yep.
less on the ground when comparing to Hunt, but still plenty on the ground, don't get me wrong.
Yeah, for sure.
He comes out at 7 for me. So
yep.
just a smidgen behind Derrick Henry, but a clear tier difference between CEH and then Joe Mixon's my A, and I feel that there's a big difference there. So
yeah, interesting.
I'm happy with, you know.
I'm a little bit different in my, like in the tiers, we're going to break it down like that, but Clyde Edwards-Helaire is my 7 after Derrick Henry as well. He's just in front of Austin Eckler.
I wouldn't look down on someone taking him as the 4th pick. As high as that.
Oh, are you alluding to something that I should no, I should do?
No.
With, in the next league that we'll be drafting in together, where I'm the 4th pick?
But honestly, I
still like guys like Kamara and Dalvin Cook. I do like better than Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
Yeah.
Just for the sake of, especially for
it's
redraft.
It's a bit more known as well, isn't it?
So, yeah.
But
if I'm drafting Dynasty, Clyde Edwards-Helaire is like my 5th pick off the board.
Yeah, no, it's but why wouldn't he have been earlier? You've because the future value is always there for Clyde.
But it's more so when you're, I think if you're like if startup, if you're drafting really early in a dynasty league, it's you're more likely to want to be drafting for now than for the future. And I don't think if you're like before, if you're drafting for now, you wouldn't have taken Clyde Edwards-Helaire in the first round.
No, but I'm just saying that a dynasty value, I don't think his dynasty value is skyrocketed. As like obviously redraft has.
No, fair enough.
All right, what else we got?
Plays on COVID IR lists. So COVID IR is there for players who have either tested positive or are in the process of finding out whether they'll test positive.
Yeah.
So it doesn't necessarily mean that they've got COVID.
Yeah.
They're not necessarily out for 2 to 3 weeks, but until like it comes to light. But a few interesting names: Justin Jefferson, the rookie in Minnesota, is on the COVID IR list. Who's projected to be the number 2 receiver out in Minnesota.
Going to be hard for me to want to draft him at all, really. Wide receivers as they are, if he's going to miss 2 weeks of camp now, early stages,
it makes
after
a big
having
impact.
No off season.
Yeah.
But the opportunity is still going to be there when he gets there, but he's going to have a very limited route tree, you'd think.
Yeah, that's right. Keyshawn Vaughn is on the list as well.
They've just brought in Shady into this situation.
LeSean McCoy has signed with the Bucks. So potentially I think that's just insurance.
Yeah.
He's gone there to retire to Florida. So, nice place to retire.
But it's starting to point,
but it's not at the moment.
To Ronald Jones now, isn't it? As the
he's starting
the season.
Yes.
As the starter. Look, Keyshawn's going to get some work. I'd, 5 to 10 touches maybe to start with.
And
if he does well with those, hopefully that expands. But I would be tempering expectation on Keyshawn Vaughn. I wouldn't be overdrafting him at all.
No, I wouldn't draft him, and he's potentially a watch and trade for mid-season. That's what I'd be looking for. Logan Thomas out of the football team is also on the list.
Yeah,
so like tight end, so Thaddeus Moss might have an opportunity.
Yeah, well, it's another tight end gone, so
who knows?
That's probably more of a dynasty type look at.
Yeah, I would agree. All right, Chris, that's the news for this week. Have you got some draft tips for us?
Once again, things that could have been brought to my attention yesterday.
All right, draft tips.
Tips.
All right. So, what did we talk about last week? Do you remember that?
A few things.
I should have left them written on
the run sheet. But we gave you some good tips last week.
You'll look them up while I talk through my next one.
Yes,
but
I'd
like a little recap, because I think people who haven't heard, we are every week, me and you are going to give a draft tip of each as we head into draft season, so that you guys are prepared. You, get to sort of hear what we do, what we've worked for us, and what really we hear from other people as well. Like most of the stuff we talk about is never original. So we're just regurgitating a lot of stuff. So my one, first of all, is, stay flexible, okay? Don't go into your draft with a rigid strategy of I must do this. Some people will go in and say, oh, first 3 picks, I must have 2 running backs, 1 wide receiver, or, I'm going to get, you know, one of the big three tight ends in that second round or third round. And like there's, if you go in with a rigid strategy, you basically going in with blinders on where you're going to potentially miss a lot of draft values that could fall to you, because we're drafting with humans. We're not drafting against computers, unlike, you know.
And that's the limitation of the Fantasy Pros Draft Simulator
absolutely.
And all those other mock drafting things. It's like often you're going against a computer and it's just mostly ADP.
No. And you start doing that too much and then you think, well, I have to take this person here. I'll take this person here. And, you know, sure, have a few people in mind in later rounds. Oh, you know, this person's here.
Yeah, upside picks.
But don't think that you can't throw that out the window if you have this absolute value pick fall to you.
Yeah,
like,
that's right.
And you might have someone like, oh, I'm not drafting, I don't know, Juju. Yeah. Like you might think, oh, I don't think Juju's going to, like, I'm not a Juju guy.
No.
I don't think he's a true number one receiver.
But if you hold leagues like that and he suddenly drops into the fifth round.
Yeah, I'll take it. I'll take that, because then the draft position sort of matches that risk of him not turning out. But if I was wrong, and I often am, I could have an absolute league winner still there. So just be, don't just, I don't know, flexible, move around.
Be mindful. That's
absolutely
right. Recap from last week quickly. Never too early to mock, says,
mock,
and I said, you got to know your format and your scoring.
Yes.
Because that will change the potential for, especially for running backs who catch the ball a lot.
And know your league mates as well, I guess, with and that sort of ties in with, you know, not overlooking values that fall to you just because it doesn't fit in your strategy.
Yeah, that's
right. You know, you've got to think, all right, well, this is what in my mocks it's been falling out this way, and I'm going to go into my draft thinking I'm going to go, you know, with that sort of direction.
Yeah.
But then if you think, well, actually, I know that, you know, I've got this guy who always likes to take, you know, Gronk in the second round or something like that, and he's before me, and, you know, I can just, I know that certain values might fall to me just because I know the people. Or, you know, if you've got a guy that you love, but you also know someone in your league loves them as well.
Yeah.
You know, you might have to reach, which I think is going to head into yours.
Yeah, that's it. Well, that was my tip. If you love someone, if you really love someone, take them. put a ring on it. But take them, but with ADP in mind, like understand where people are falling. But for example, my love for Austin Ekeler has been recorded on this podcast many times. And I'm very, very happy with Austin Ekeler to be my RB1. If, however, I'm not going to take him as part of like the top four or five or anything like that. I'm not going to be stupid with it. But I know that his ADP is less than what I like. Mm. And so what that tells me, there's two things you can either do. You can kind of go, look, I'm going to wait a little bit and see if they do fall. But sometimes you can be disappointed. And let's be honest, when you're playing fantasy football, you want to watch the people on your team that you love watching.
Yeah.
And so if
fantasy should be fun.
It should be fun. And if you're going to reach a little bit, like often reaching, you know, if you're taking, I say the ADP is RB30, but you like him at the RB25. Like five players isn't that big of a difference sometimes. And so it's sometimes worth it just going, you know what? Look, it might be a little bit later on, but I'm just going to take him right now.
Yeah. And
there's always other value elsewhere.
You'll get ridiculed by your league mates.
That's right. But it's a bit of fun, a bit of banter. That's what it's all about.
As long as you fire back.
Anyway, so there's some more tips for you this week. We'll be coming at you with more tips every single week. So keep staying tuned.
I tried to say AFC South, but the words just escaped me.
I was
going to
say, I don't know that division.
I don't know what's going on there.
Thanks, Arch. Look, you bring some lightheartedness to this podcast, that's for sure. All right, we're going to jump into the AFC South, just like Chris said.
Look, you can't fault my enthusiasm.
No, okay? Look, I love it. It's fantastic. we are starting with the Texans.
Mm.
Houston.
Yes.
And let's jump into the QB. I believe he was the QB4 last year, Deshaun Watson. Current ADP of QB6. Look, for me, I'm that's low for me. He's projected out as my QB3.
Wow, even without Nuke.
Look, even without Nuke, there's so many targets up for grabs. I don't necessarily think he's going to pass less. I think he just might pass on a more even spread.
Yeah.
Brandon Cooks comes in, and he is a good receiver.
He is.
Look, he had those concussion issues last year. But before then, he was just 1,000 yards every year, pretty much. You can book it in for Brandon Cooks. And I think he's going to be really solid this year. I think you look at him, and I've given him 120 targets at the moment. I think that might – look, I might need to revise that a little bit, but I think that's not unheard of. Hopkins was getting like north of 140 every year.
Yep.
Very easily. And so – I don't necessarily think the wide receivers are unreliable or anything like that. They've brought in a reliable Brandon Cooks, and I think you've got still like, and Randall Cobb is there now as well, who showed last year that you could take 80 targets and handle them very well. So for me, Deshaun Watson, he is an absolute jet of a quarterback, and people, I think he's kind of died.
Michael Jordan. Of football.
Who said that?
He's Dabo Sweeney's college coach.
Oh yeah, that's it. but I think he's a bit underrated compared to some of the bright sparks we see in Mahomes and Dak Prescott. Like he came in, he's in the midst of all of that. But I think just because he's not on such a high profile team, we're not seeing the potential.
Look, a lot of his come in junk time as well. Like we saw where
that's fair.
He had most of his game not doing much and the team not doing much, and then the game was lost. And then all of a sudden, he had a respectable fantasy score that week.
I feel like that same could be said about Dak Prescott, though. Like, I feel like a lot of those Cowboys games, if it was like, oh, we're losing, let's get Dak to throw it. And he had to throw it a lot. Here's something, though. Watson has become the third QB ever to throw for 3,800 passing yards and rush for 400 yards and 7 touchdowns, like, ever. Joining Cam Newton and Dante Culpepper. So he's had 7 top 5 quarterback fantasy performances last year behind only Lamar Jackson's 11. And look, DeAndre Hopkins goes, and that's a bit of a sticking point for some, but I think he overcomes that in terms of volume. So I like Deshaun Watson a lot, and the fact that we got him in the 10th round in a draft recently, I was very happy with that.
Yeah, I mean, it was a very strong starting lineup with wide receivers of that league. But look, he comes in as my 5th quarterback person. I've got Dak and Russell Wilson ahead.
Yeah, okay.
He might throw the ball more this year, but I just don't think the quality of those passes are going to be there. He's not going to get the same return for them.
All right.
But yeah, obviously he's generally will be drafted before I'd want to take him anyway. I'm normally a late round guy.
Yeah, me too.
But like you said, if a Deshaun Watson falls into the 10th round, I'll take him.
Yeah, 100%. I'll take him.
Beginning of the 10th.
Yeah, it was with the beginning of
Might
the 10th.
Might as well. Late 9th.
But look, when you're not going to pick again till the end of the 11th, you may as well take him.
Absolutely.
So look, we got two really good wide receivers. And both of them have the injury cloud. Brandon Cooks has that concussion. Mm-hmm. Will Fuller never seems to be able to stay on the park for a whole year. But when he's on the park, he is so good.
How's this? He's missed 23 games over 4 seasons.
It's ugly.
36%.
That's right.
Of games he doesn't play.
No, that's right. It's just...
You just have to factor that in when you're doing projections, don't you?
You do. And like that's why I've only got him at 75 targets, because I just don't know if he can stay healthy.
Yep.
But if he stays healthy, I think he definitely can take on board 110-plus targets. I think we've seen that there is actually a really good connection between Deshaun Watson and Will Fuller.
Absolutely.
A lot of the games, when he does play, like multiple touchdowns a game is not out of the question for Will Fuller. He's done that quite a few times. So I would be taking Will Fuller in my drafts as potentially one of those first couple of bench spots.
Yeah, okay.
I think, look, his ADP is wide receiver 35.
Yep.
Cooks is actually wide receiver 36. So they're right next to each other. The field can't really split them. But Will Fuller is a guy that I think if you know he's healthy, then he's worth a spot on your starting lineup.
I feel that both of them won't finish at that. one will finish way lower and one will finish way higher than where they're going.
For sure.
It's just they're all going in Houston because we just don't see a clear path to how this is going to play out. You know, you've got Randall Cobb throwing it over the slot, but probably like he potentially is going to have a good year, lots of, you know, maybe a lot of PPR upside almost.
Yeah.
But, yeah, how Cooks and Fuller work it out, how much they play as well, it's just a bit murky. And I think, look, one of those will be an absolute value pick.
Yeah, I agree.
I just don't know which one.
No, it's hard to tell. I have leaned towards Fuller because of the fact that he's played with Watson before. Mm.
That's probably, Cooks goes to team after. This is his fourth team, and he can still
he knows perform. How to work his way in. Yep. That's for sure, 100%.
And apart from, you know, these scary concussions last year, he has been quite healthy. And so
yeah, for
it's
sure.
just that concussion thing. What we don't know enough. So, you know, if he's over the concussion, the rest of his body seems to be fine.
Yeah, no, that's right. So I think if you're betting on health, you go Cooks. Mm. If you're looking for high upside, I think you go Fuller.
Yep.
So that's probably how I split it. Randall Cobb, I don't think like he's probably like I don't think you really want to draft him.
I don't know.
If the injuries happen, which we think they will, then potentially he's worth a spot.
I like to follow the money. They 3 years, $27 million deal they signed Cobb to.
And he just got glasses.
And $18 million guaranteed.
Yeah, okay, that's a lot of money.
So
they obviously value that.
I don't know. I mean,
but look, we are talking about Bill O'Brien.
Yeah, exactly.
So I don't know.
Exactly.
I don't know what I think goes through his head.
Yeah, but I think because he's the GM at the moment as well, like he's going to probably want to back in where he's put his money. So I don't know. I'm expecting Cobb to be out there a lot in the slot and potentially will just be that security blanket for old mate Deshaun Watson. So I don't know. I think there's a potential. Look, I don't think he's going to be wide receiver one or two, but he could easily be that flex plug and play guy. And
especially,
you know,
in PPR,
for
if he's going to play that
almost
slot.
Going undrafted.
Yeah, that's fair. The other one's Kenny Stills. I think he's got big playability, and
I think he's only injuries really, isn't it?
Yeah, he's a bit of a flash in the pan. Mm. Running backs, well, look, you get rid of DeAndre Hopkins. Who are you going to bring in? Oh, why don't you bring in the equivalent best running back, David Johnson?
No, they didn't do that. They just brought in David Johnson. Look, everyone's talked about how that the most bizarre trade ever to
very strange
to take on the contract.
I mean,
as well as give up
it's
Nuke.
It's the kind of
outrageous
trade you would have seen in fantasy leagues 2 years ago.
But hey, what we've got is an opportunity here for another, another turn on the David Johnson train, and maybe it actually he has fantasy relevance again, because there's just Duke Johnson behind him,
which is like an interesting thing because Duke is loved by people as just a runner, as an all-around runner, like coming out of college. Like people loved that. I mean, but no one's ever wanted to use
No,
Duke
no one's given it. It's just opportunity. Doesn't have the size to take it on. But look, David Johnson, he's going to he's shown in the past that he's going to be the better pass-catching running back.
Yes.
And three-down back. Like he's had that experience and they've taken on that contract. You know, Bill O'Brien's made this massive trade. He's going to want David Johnson to succeed.
No, for sure he is. They'll push him onto the park as much as they can.
So they're going to give him as much volume as he can handle.
Yep.
Are we going to see him succeed? Like, is he, like, when we watched
him? Can he run still?
When he watched him, he didn't look great, did he?
It was hard, actually. I feel like looking back, he had great stretches and then some really poor stretches. And it was this fluctuation. You can argue that injuries played a big impact on that and they may have brought him back early.
New system as well.
Yeah, that's it. So, look, I think if David Johnson is healthy, which he's, you know, everyone's saying everyone's healthy at this point.
Yeah.
Look, I think he runs a lot. I think he runs about 260 times. And he's going to get targeted a fair bit. I've got 65 targets. Potentially I'm low there, but you know, Duke Johnson is
so
also
going
there
in
to catch
the third
the
round to fourth round these days. Like, are you comfortable taking him in the third round?
Yeah, for sure. Actually, let me backtrack on that. I feel like if he was my third running back in the third round, very happy with that in my flex spot for sure, because I want the insurance of not losing my RB2 and then having to plug in RB4s or anything like that. Interestingly enough, though, a few mocks that I've been doing on Fantasy Pros, like he's been dropping into the fourth, fifth round.
Yeah.
His ADP is around RB23, which I think he can definitely outperform given the opportunity that he's got.
Yeah, the opportunity's there. Duke Johnson's had many opportunities to be supersede other people there.
No one wants to go with him.
No one's doing it. So I can't see him. And in fact, it's going to be even worse for him, I think, whereas Carlos Hyde and Duke Johnson complemented their skill sets, whereas I think David Johnson just outdoes Duke Johnson.
He turns into a pure handcuff, really. That's it.
Yep.
Tight ends, don't bother.
No.
Fells and Aikens, it's just touchdowns, and that's all you want. So
no drafting for there.
Colts,
let's keep moving. All right, so we got Phil Rivers, year one.
Crimey Rivers.
Phil Rivers is always someone who's toys with the as a streaming option.
It's because he's been in the league so long.
Yeah, he's never good enough to get drafted, but he has his weeks, he has his matchups, and he likes to throw.
A lot.
And so he has those boom weeks, but he also has those not so good weeks. 20 interceptions last year, Rowan. We just mentioned earlier about our listener league having -4 point interceptions.
Might not want to go through with that.
I don't think I'll go with Rivers. Look, at the end of the day, like last probably, I don't know, 3-4 years, have the Chargers had an offensive line? Like, I don't know if they have. Like, it may be...
It'd be a middling offensive line, if anything.
So they go into, you know, arguably the best or one of the best O-line situations.
I think PFF's got him at the second best.
Yep. So he's coming into a situation where he's going to have more time. Yep. He's going to feel more confident behind that line to potentially not make such stupid passes.
That's true.
And so there is I do see a bit of, you know, improvement. It's not a complete unknown system here. You know, he's had Frank Reich as an offensive coordinator.
Yep.
He's got a dump off running back available to him.
He does.
And so I think, I think there's a chance that we see a good year from Rivers. And it's a one-year deal, so he needs it to be a good year if he wants to keep playing.
But how
to feed those 20 kids.
Do you seriously think he can be a top 12 quarterback?
Well, there is a potential.
Yeah.
I'm not banking on it.
No. See, I wouldn't be going near that at
just
all.
Just fluffing up his pillow.
Yeah, fair enough. But look, for all our people who think about redraft out there,
I wouldn't draft him.
Yeah, good.
But you got to understand that if you start to see something in the first few games, you know, there's a potential, you know, waiver option there and you could keep riding him for a while. So
yeah, it's true. But I think
there's a reason why people keep using him as a streaming quarterback because he does have good weeks.
Yeah, and I just think that needs to stop this year.
Well, okay, how can it get worse from last year?
Yeah, well, he could just be the same. I just don't know if he's actually done. Like, he could just be a done quarterback.
Yeah, potentially. All right, running backs, let's just move on from Rivers. We're not drafting him. Okay, so here we are.
And this is another reason why I don't draft Rivers. Because there's three running backs
we can run behind this massive offensive line. Jonathan Taylor, JT, comes in.
Draft darling.
Oh, was, you know, one of the, you know, between him and Swift, people were, you know, who's the number one running back option. As a pure runner on the ground, it's got to be Jonathan Taylor. This is his college stats, Ron. I don't know if you've ever had have a read and just fallen off your chair.
I know they're good. Let's all right, 27. Bask in them once again.
So his freshman year, he rushed the ball. And we're in college season, so shorter than in the NFL.
Yes.
Rushed the ball for 1,977 yards. His sophomore year, rushed for 2,194 yards.
Mm.
And last year, he rushed for 2,003. The knock on him is that he's just a runner, no pass catcher, Derrick Henry type.
Fair enough.
But they threw to him 26 times. He caught the ball 26 times in his last year. So he's shown that he has the ability.
A game.
Yeah. So that's more than a lot of like your Derrick Henrys are going to get.
Yeah, Derrick Henrys aren't going to catch any balls.
But they actually were confident to actually start doing that to him in the giving him the ball through the air. And so I actually think he's got that potential to grow in that. He's not going to get just pigeonholed there. But yeah. I mean, when we get, because they've got Nyheim Hines, they're probably not going to force him to do that either.
No, it might just be scrambles from Rivers.
But basically, his rushing average per game is 158.3 in college.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Yeah, that's
not bad.
I'll take that. Thanks.
Yeah.
Behind what, you know, the second best offensive line.
That's
sorry,
right.
Marlon Mack. I'll give you two games and then you're out.
Yeah, look, you can't trust Marlon Mack at all.
No. And look, Marlon Mack's a good player.
For
he's
sure.
just not he's a great player. That. And so he'll have the veteran sort of leg up to maybe he might get the ceremonial start week one.
Yep. But then
maybe week two is
the real
not.
Question for me with Marlon Mack is where's he going to be next year?
Yep.
Because that's the option, right?
He can't stick around unless he's happy to just be an injury insurance, but he has to fade into oblivion or they're not doing it right. Because they've got the third option in Nyheim Hines, who is, you know, the
pass catcher.
The pass catching back.
Yep.
Very elusive and just, you know, everyone's throwing out the Eckler comparisons because of everything. But Rivers, you know,
he does.
He throws to running backs. He's a pass catching running back. So he's going to get a lot of that work. And they've already talked up that they're going to expand his role, Hines' role.
That's right.
And so we've got coach speak about it.
Yeah.
We've got past stat history. And I think, I just can't see any room for Marlon Mack. I think there's, you know, some late round upside for Hines to have that. He's going as their RB 55. So I would potentially
could he like carve out a Tariq Cohen type role?
Yeah, potentially, which is annoying for fantasy. Those are inconsistent.
I don't know, but PPR, that's actually not bad. That's true, a flex spot for sure.
Yeah, but look, part of me just wants them to see how much JT can handle on the ground and in the air, just to really give him that opportunity to be the guy.
Fair enough.
What, receivers?
Yeah, look, the receivers are... Look, they're underrated. Well, T.Y. Hilton is, I feel like, underrated this year.
Wide receiver 21.
Yeah, but he's got top 10 upside.
Absolutely.
Especially when you've got Rivers behind.
He's getting on in the tooth. Line.
Yeah, he is getting on, but potentially, look, wide receivers can last longer than we think.
Mm-hmm.
So, look, T.Y. Hilton is sneaky. I still don't know if I like him better than some of the other guys going around his range like Keenan Allen.
Yeah.
But... He's going to be able to do some good things.
Overall, the passing attack, I guess, in Indianapolis is going to improve from Brissett to Rivers. As much as you might not love Rivers, the passing work should get better.
Yeah.
And so I think T.Y. is a good value play, assuming that he doesn't take that drop off. Should have a chance to get a whole bunch of targets. I think I've got him as their leader at 135 targets. And so I think he's going to have a good year. My second in terms of targets, though.
Yeah. Is it Pittman or Campbell?
I'm going with Pittman.
Yeah, fair enough.
And so look, I know she didn't have him on the run sheet to start with, so I thought that was a bit of an affront to begin with.
No, it was just a mistake. Come on, just he's there. ADP wide receiver 60. Off the board.
Okay, so they're already talking about him being the guy opposite Hilton. Okay, so that
they are.
So he's going in straight away to start, most likely. Obviously, without camp, it's hard to know for sure.
Yeah, that's right.
But just looking at his measurables, 6'4", 101 kilos. Like, this is a big target for
he's
Rivers.
A big boy.
Like,
contested catch boy.
Absolutely. Red zone threat, like... He had 11 touchdowns in his last year of college. 11.
It makes you think of guys
touchdowns.
Like Metcalf and Mike Williams, guys who are probably, and that's probably interesting, isn't it? Like that's actually like a very, in terms of receivers, it's quite comparable to the Chargers for Rivers. Mm. You've got Hilton, who's Keenan Allen-esque. and you've got Michael Pittman Jr., who's a bit of a Mike Williams, big contested catch, end zone threat. And then you've got Nyheim Hines, who's a good pass catcher out of the backfield. So it is really interesting to see that maybe like, they're orchestrating something here around Rivers to make sure that
they
operate
they're
well.
A bit longer term view than that. But for this year, absolutely. And I think, and then I guess Who's the third receiving option? We've got Paris Campbell, Zach Pascal. You're not going to draft any of them, most likely. But probably I think not. Paris Campbell's got an interesting, maybe a little bit of PPR out of the slot. They're already talking that he's going to be the slot guy. So whether he gets peppered with targets or not, I mean, I've only got him down. I've got him down for 80, so it's not too bad. But I think as much as I don't like to be too much all in on a rookie wide receiver, I think Michael Pittman's got a really good situation that he's heading into year one.
For me, it's him and Rager are probably the only two rookie wide receivers that I'd consider drafting and redraft this year.
Yep.
Jack Doyle, is he worth anything?
Look, he will be available. And he's just not that. He's just not athletically gifted like the other good tight ends. He's got the opportunity there. Look, Rivers does, like, he's had some history of throwing to tight ends, but is Jack Doyle going to be the guy? I don't know. Someone might take a shot at him, but I won't.
No, fair enough. Fair call.
Jacksonville.
Again, look, there's just no good tight ends in this division whatsoever. Again,
all right, let's talk about Minshew Mania.
Yeah, Minshew Mania. Look, it's easy to have a crush on this man.
Oh, hello.
On the jorts and the sunnies and that just the flowing locks and the bandana. Love it.
Makes you get the Lawnmower 3.0 out.
Sure. Either way, last year he had 5 QB1 performances as a rookie. He's not the guy that anyone really thought would be leading this team. I'm going to ignore you.
Did you just mute me?
No.
Actually, so I'm in control.
But he was an underwhelming Jags team. And the defense has not gotten better.
No. What are they? All the off-field issues. Like,
it's been crazy.
Massive mess.
Like, they were the top of their game, the defense, 3 years ago. Yeah. And it's just fallen
just
in a heap.
Lost it all.
But that could potentially spell good news fantasy-wise for Gardner Minshew. It means he's going to have to throw a lot.
Yes.
And he's had the up-and-coming DJ Chark last year post some really solid numbers. Chris Conley, decent. Dede Westbrook, decent. Laviska Shenault has got a lot of dynasty buzz. A lot of people like him and what he could bring to the offense.
I mean, I tried to see how much our dynasty league, how much he'd be worth, but the price is too high for mine.
Like, for sure.
These gadget guys, how much, like, if, you know, who says, like, where's this guy going to play? Is like the classic athlete type. Like, how well do they actually pan out anyway?
That's it. Like, there's not heaps. You don't really want to bank on them because they, especially in fantasy, mostly because they're just all over the place. Coaches love them.
Yeah. Like we said, Taysom Hill.
Oh, I love watching Taysom Hill play. Every time he makes the fantasy field, I love it. But no, you never draft him. So look, Shenault there
Who's your wide receiver two?
At the moment, it's Dede.
Yep.
Westbrook has been there a decent amount of time. He just seems to not always kind of.
It's meant to have the breakout last year, but Shark on the way.
Yeah, that's right. And when you got a guy like Chark coming in and doing that, you kind of just got to go, well, we're just going to roll with it.
Yeah.
So I don't know how the offense is really going to go on the whole. And so I can't really put any confidence behind any of these guys except Chark. And I've got him, DJ Chark, I've got him there as 120 targets. I've got him at over 1,000 yards.
Yep.
Look, and he was a second round pick as well. So he's entering his third season. He's got that sense of this is the third year breakout potentially that we get. So looking at reception perception, thanks to Matt Harmon, he impressed, posting a 69% success rate versus man coverage, 68.7% against press, posted strong scores on vertical intermediate routes like the 9, corner, and out, but he came with a well-balanced success rate by route chart. I don't know if I consider him the true number one. I can't quite see that totally coming together, but he's going to have some great weeks.
It's still in his range of outcomes, but we probably just haven't seen quite enough. And the inconsistent quarterback play last year probably didn't help him just really settle. But full year with, as you know, Gardner's number one receiver, though.
Well, that's it. He likes him a lot. And at the moment, Chark's been taken as wide receiver 24, which is okay for me. I think a bottom end wide receiver 2 is probably fine for me to take him. I don't want to take him as a upside wide receiver 2. If he falls into the wide receiver 3 range, then I'm very happy to take him there. Running back's a funny situation because Leonard Fournette just was not going to be part of the team halfway through the off season, and he's there. He's cemented into it. But they brought in Chris Thompson from Washington. Of course, Gruden's brought in his favorite pass catching running back.
I think the days of Chris Thompson are done, aren't they?
Yes, but I still think this limits the catching upside.
It does. Yeah.
I still think Chris Thompson gets targeted 60 times.
Yep.
Which, you know, Fournette was targeted, I think, 100 times last year.
Yeah, that ain't going to happen again.
No, that's not. So what you've got there in Fournette is a rusher. You've got him who'll catch, you know, I think maybe 40 balls.
Mm.
So I don't know if he'll even make 1,000 rushing yards. He'll probably have about 1,200, 1,300 all-purpose yards. It's the touchdowns that he might get as well. But for me, look.
I'm not that high on him.
No, he's ADP's RB14. That's so high for what I would have him at. For me, look, he's down at 26.
Yep.
Like, I'm actually quite low on him because if this isn't a high-scoring offense, he's not going to get touchdowns.
Yeah.
And he, yeah, if defenses are going to be out, I think they're going to be able to push through the O-line. I don't think he's going to get as many yards per carry as he has in the past either. So, look, I don't love Leonard Fournette, but like
but
we
he's
say-
there, and there's not one. There's not much, you know, competition. So at least you
he seems to always pump out good numbers.
Yeah, that's it. It does, might not look be pretty, but you know, if he's healthy, he's consistently getting the ball. So I don't mind him if he falls to me at value, I'll take him. And that's what we talk about. You got to be flexible. Even though he might not be a guy that I really love to take.
Yeah.
You got to say, well, there's the volume there.
I'd take him as a flex RB3, but I don't know if I'll ever see him fall there. So I'll probably not likely draft him. But that's it for the Jags.
Tartoons. All right. So I've got a special.
Did you say Tartoons?
Tartoons. Bit of Dan Hansis type stuff.
All right.
There.
Very good. Your idol.
But look. What a year they had last year, and
I loved watching them.
It was
from a
fun, wasn't
perspective,
it?
That was just great to watch. That second half of the year was something else.
See Ryan Tannehill completely turn his career around. No one saw it coming.
Oh, except those who realized that he's been coached by Adam Gase for the 3 years
but
prior.
Because so, we never got to see what he could do. So he didn't start until week 7. But from that point on, he was QB3.
That's big.
That's amazing.
That's big.
Like, you forget how good he was. And this is potentially a little point that I've heard around the place about a lot of people towards the back end of a fantasy season, if they feel that, like, if they're out of contention, they stop paying attention. Now,
it's
Tannehill,
true.
He's still going very late in drafts.
Yeah.
And
his ADP's quarterback 17.
And I wonder if it's just, people weren't paying attention at the end of the year how well he was going. Or they then look at the playoffs and what happened in the playoffs. They barely passed it. They just
Henry was the guy.
Yeah,
just rushed.
And so I think there's a couple factors here of people, you know, worried that the passing volume it's, you know, going to be low, and it is.
Yeah,
compared to other teams, but the efficiency is there.
Look, I have to be honest with you, Chris.
Mm.
He's projected as my quarterback 21.
Yeah, look, and this I'm saying that he was QB3 last year.
I know.
Basically on a per game basis.
AJ Brown was going nuts as well.
Yeah, there was. The efficiency was ridiculous and it's going to come down. And look, if you look at my rankings, he's still, you know, he's my 16th quarterback.
Yeah, okay. So you're above ADP just.
But the ceiling there of if, you know, another year with AJ Brown.
Can Corey Davis make something of himself? Well who knows?
He's still there, isn't he? And I think there's a good argument for taking him as your late round quarterback.
I agree. No, for sure. Look, when I hit that QB.
He won me a championship.
He won
damn
you
it.
A championship against me. And so I will not draft him. No, I'm not going to hold that pity. Look, for me, I would anywhere between the QB 15 to, you know, 24.
Mm.
It's a, you know, go for the upside. And
yeah,
Tannehill has the upside.
He's got the upside. I just realized my rankings aren't in actual numeric order.
Oh, that's a little bit silly.
But he was my 16. All right. Derrick Henry. He can run with a ball in his hand very well.
What would you rather face? Chris, would you rather face a steam train or Derrick Henry?
Oh, I'll take the steam train, thanks. look, he without having a pass catching really part of his game, like, you know, very minimal.
Yes.
He still just produces, like last year was just incredible.
Well, when you're rushing for 300 times, that's like unheard of by anyone else in the league.
Yeah. So, you know, he's going to get fed the ball. He's coming out as my RB six.
Same. That's where ADP has him as well.
Yeah. So look, you're going to have to take him in that first round.
Higher in standard. If you play standard leagues, Derrick Henry could easily is like,
well, if you're playing standard leagues, just have a good hard look at yourself and then, and then come back to us. All right. Anyway. So, do you worry about offensive line changes? They lost Jack Conklin to Cleveland. They did replace him in the first round with Isaiah Wilson.
Yeah.
PFF ranks offensive line as the 15th going into 2020. So it's the, I guess it's an average offensive line, not terrible. I guess we've got Darrington Evans to think about now that they drafted. Is he going to get many touches off of him? Are they, you know, is it sustainable to keep giving Henry this workload?
That's the one thing. I don't know if anyone's really talked about it, but is the way Henry plays the game is probably one of the most it invites injury more than any other way that you play the game. And he's surprisingly been quite healthy the last
Look, obviously when he first started, he had DeMarco Murray.
Yes.
And so he hasn't had the full workload like he did last year.
He handled it very well last year.
So, look, you just got to bet on that being the most probable outcome. But Darrington Evans is talented, and a lot of people were hoping – well, not hoping, but very high on him when the thought of Henry not signing any extension to his contract. So the Evans' value
went down.
There
was a couple of days there where everyone was like, oh, get Darrington Evans.
Yeah, look, we all tried. But he's definitely still a good insurance policy there. Receivers, we're almost done, Ron.
AJ Brown, he was awesome last year.
He is a huge human being who can catch the ball and then not get tackled.
He made so many yards.
Oh, only 52 catches last year.
Yeah.
And finished as a wide receiver 15.
Big year.
I mean, this is what we're talking about a bit with Tannehill. The efficiency on that offense last year
was out of
this
world.
It has to come down. They can't. So you got to think, like, you know, we have to temper some expectations here. But he had 8 touchdowns. Look, it was a small sample size, but AJ Brown's looking all that and more.
Yeah.
So wide receiver 14. You happy taking him there?
Look, he was wide receiver 15 last year, and I think the regression. Not that, I mean, he's only had 1 year of it, but he's currently he's my wide receiver 26 because I think he fits in that range with guys like Terry McLaurin and Devontae Parker and Adam Thielen. And I can't quite see myself loving this offense in the air. Look, he's probably going to prove me wrong.
Yep. Look, and the way their offense is, like, he's not playing in the slot like they thought they might have him coming out of college.
Yeah.
So he's playing the X receiver role. But I think he played on the outside 88.8% of the time, according to reception possession. So he's out there almost exclusively.
That's right.
He's got bloody, 85th percentile versus man coverage. He's got that reception perception profile of an actual true number one receiver already.
He does.
And so if he can continue that with his yards after catch, monster ability that he's got, like, whilst we're thinking, you know, there might be that regression, he's got a very high ceiling, and I wouldn't be sleeping on him too much. Like, I've got him as wide receiver 16, ADP's 14 at this stage. It's probably where we're taking it. If you like him, you're going to have to pay up.
I think that's the thing. Like, I don't know if I could take him as my wide receiver one, especially if you go running back in the third round. Chances are you're taking AJ Brown as your wide receiver one.
And I think around that time, I think, you know, you're talking about a Robert Woods Which Aaron I like Robinson. Better.
Yeah. See, that's the thing. That's the one thing I think that differentiates it for me is that AJ Brown is not going to get the targets that those guys are.
Yeah.
I've got AJ Brown only sitting at 100 targets this year, just basically because I think they're just, well, they're going to run the ball so much that there's not the targets to go around. How many targets do you have AJ Brown at?
I got him 120.
Okay, fair enough.
So, look, they're still, like, I've got my projections for Tannehill only passing 450 times.
Same.
And so, like, it's low passing work, but there's just not many else to catch. Like, there's AJ Brown, Corey Davis. There's no running back really catching the ball with serious volume, which leads me to who will catch the ball, I think.
Enough.
That's Jono Smith.
Oh, Jono.
I'm really quite happy to go with John. I think I pick him up in quite a few drafts and I end up.
Yeah, we got him earlier this week.
I was going to say, I feel like I get him as a late round tight end more often than not.
Yeah.
Often between him and Mike Gesicki, I feel are two guys that showed enough last year who are going to make that next step.
Yes. I've got him as my tight end 13.
I got him 12.
Yep. And his ADP is tight end 17. So, obviously, we like him better than the field at the moment.
Which means that's probably why I keep being able to get him.
Yeah, that's right, because he's dropping late. Who do you like more? I feel like he's in the same breath as guys like Blake Jarwin and Noah Fant.
Yeah, look, I feel that Blake Jarwin's had a year when he didn't have a competition and he didn't do much.
It was 2 years ago.
When he was that long
pretty
ago.
Much a rookie.
But he had the corpse of Jason Witten in his way last year.
Yes.
So I still think Jarwin's a good late round player as well, I think I still prefer Jonnu Smith.
Fair enough.
Who else are you talking about?
Noah Fant.
Yeah, look, I was intrigued about Noah Fant until they just loaded up their offense with pass catches in the draft. So I don't feel he's got the same immediate outlook. I think there's still long-term value with Fant, but maybe not this year as much.
That's it. And young tight ends always take a while to kind of adjust.
But Jono, he's already been talked about as the clear starter at tight end as well. So I think I really like him late.
No, good call. All right, guys.
Yes.
We're done! AFC South preview. Don't forget to hit us up on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Patreon, and our website where you can find the form for our...
Join the Listener League.
That's it. Very first Listener League. We've had fun. Hope you've had fun, and we'll catch you next time.
Bye.